What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is a show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times. But this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. What's up, guys? So first, just want to get some housekeeping out of the way. For the month of April, we are doing the book club again. This month's book is the book on mental toughness by Andy Vercella. You know, local kind of legend here in St. Louis, and we're excited to read his book. You know, we're all big fans of him. He was, you know, Murph worked for him for a long time, and yeah, we all love Andy and First Form and all the, everything they kind of stand for.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he's a guy that all of us look up to, and
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, especially in the podcast space too. And also shout out to our friends at NeuroGum. We appreciate them and sending us a bunch of stuff. NeuroGum is a chewing gum with nootropics and caffeine. So there's some scientific studies out there that prove or that show that a lot of these nootropics and caffeine in combination with caffeine have research shown that better for memory recall, you know, lots of good stuff. Make your brain work better. Yeah. So anyway, we like it here. And so get out there, try some NeuroGum. And yeah.
Thank you to our people over at Fit Flavors. Now through the end of May, go online, buy gift cards using the code podcast50. We'll get you 50% off one time per person. So yeah, I went on, got a $1,000 gift card for $500, and it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I've been flying through it. We just went there yesterday and spent a ton of money. So love it.
Yeah,
great. We're stocked up for the week, ready to go. So we're actually recording on a Sunday morning. We don't typically do this, but this is definitely not a normal time that we record. But you know, we thought we'd all get together, and we do have a guest in studio today. But he's someone you guys have obviously met before. It's our producer Murph. He's our guest today. He's been a guest on the show once before when Pat was out of town. Thought we'd bring him on again and kind of make this a little bit more. We put out a Q&A on social media, question boxes asking for, you know, social media related questions. So Murph is an expert when it comes to social media. So I thought we'd kind of bring this up, bring him on and talk about, you know, social media, a couple different aspects of it, how to help grow your business. You know, and just kind of how it works. So
kind of a lead into the yes. Social media stuff going on at the end of the month that the Keller Williams Young Professionals are putting on. You know,
would you call it a summit?
Yeah. Summit, yeah,
like a creator summit or something.
I think it's
like
called
that.
Like the Social Summit.
Social Summit. I think
Social
is what
Summit. I believe
it.
Is
yeah.
The name of it.
Okay. Got some pretty cool speakers coming in. Murph is one of them. Our guest from last week, Matt, is another one, and then. We've got one more coming on right before, which
is it Ashley?
Ashley, looking forward to that one. Yep. So
yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I haven't seen Ashley speak before, but apparently she's pretty good. She was my wingman in college. She was awesome. But, Murph, I'm excited to pick your brain. We posted some Q&A on Instagram and Facebook, and I've got a few questions. I know we've got some stuff that came through, so.
I'm excited to share.
Let's rip.
Well, cool. Before we get going, talk to us more about your company.
Sure.
Tell us. I know a lot of people know you personally because a lot of the stuff that we talk about is on the personal side.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever really dove into what all you do for your business, your company that you're running.
Yeah. So when you actually had mentioned Andy, which I messaged him the other day, which is so funny. I'm wearing his Real American Freedom hat right now. And of course, you know, reading the book on mental toughness, I worked for his companies formerly as a W-2 employee for 3.5 years. So from August of 2019 until February of 2023. And the thing I have said is that, like, if you want to get the most out of that experience, you're going to have to give the most to that experience. And I think I gave as much as I could while remaining effective and driven to the mission. And it was really about that time of about mid to late 2022, I had noticed that, and it's actually kind of funny because we just had Matt on and he's a big piece of this, but I had noticed on Instagram, especially within the fitness influencer space, a lot of people were like picking up like DSLR cameras or it just wasn't done with an iPhone anymore. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like pissed me off because like I had finally gotten good at using my iPhone. And then you see these bodybuilders who are not the best content creators. They're just like, oh, I'm jacked. I'm going to hold the camera in the mirror and show you my mind. Shut the fuck up, dude. Right. And I'm not going to pull any punches on this because I was like, you know, you're buying this like $4,000 or $5,000 setup just to like shoot yourself in the mirror and with the same pump you always have and or whatever.
Right. Shirt. Just looks nicer.
Yeah. That was really, really it. And so immediately First Form's a very competitive place. And so immediately I was like, well, I could do this better than those fuckers. And in a less competitive way, Matt had been spending a lot of time with Chaz, and Chaz is not normal. Chaz is one of the most unique individuals there's ever been from an athlete standpoint, but also kind of from like a mindset standpoint. You meet the guy and you just immediately are like filled with positivity and like, yes, I can energy. And it was
that dude is built like a fire hydrant.
He's the most insane natural athlete I've ever seen in my life.
He's like just as thick as they come.
No, and it's disgusting. And he does jujitsu too.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it.
Do you ever wrestle? He's like, nope, just jujitsu. I'm like, fuck. But anywho, it was kind of cool because like they were part of a very early crowd that like would meet with Will Grumke. And you know, you meet with Will Grumke for 5 a.m. CrossFit, and Chaz started shooting things, and you would just kind of look over, and then later would be Matt at Chaz's desk. Working on his iMac, and they were just like getting into it. And I would come up and ask questions. I'd be like, yo, like, how do I do this? And so I kind of bit the bullet. I bought a camera, and within like 6 months I was filming everything. And I could kind of feel myself being inundated with purpose. Like, I'm like, I can do something with this. So February of 2022, I split off. And kind of what I started doing from there was I immediately started focusing on fitness influencers. Like, how can I be a videographer, a photographer? How can I make reels for people? Which, I mean, to this day is still such a big standpoint in my business. Which, getting back to the root of your question, it's like, what do? It's I produce content for people. I sometimes manage platforms for people. I am an educator above all else because, I mean, I don't know how many times when you and I first started talking, I'm like, there are three things I need you to focus on whenever we get together.
Entertainment. Either needs to entertain, motivate, or in motivate. Fuck, why do I fuck this up every time?
Every time.
I guess I'm not doing that good of a job. Educate, entertain, okay. Motivate.
Fuck, I guess I'm not doing that good of a job.
Yeah, no, it's educate, entertain, motivate. And and those are three things that have definitely like stuck with me, you know, even though if I forget them, there's something that definitely stick in my head for sure.
Yeah. Really, I was kind of just like, I started out as like doing videography and photography, definitely focusing on videography because I have a short term attention span I'm easily distracted. And so like video gives me a whole lot of opportunity to do dynamic stuff. Photo requires me to be a lot more stoic when I work. And the thing I really kind of took away from it all is like, I can do the stuff for people. I want them to not need me at a certain point. That was really, really big to me. So taking what I learned from social media, working at First Form, working with people like Matt and Seema, who will also be at the summit, and putting that into a business where not only I would do the work for people, but like they would understand not only how, but why I did what I did. That was really important to me. But more than anything, it's telling stories. That's my number one talent, is storytelling. And even Andy, because like 3 months after I left First Form, he goes, hey, you know, we could use a little extra social media help around here in terms of like, I need more people, that are not doing what you were doing. You want to come back in as a contractor, we'd love to have you in. And so that allowed me a really cool opportunity to work up close and personal with people who initially like really got me into this business, but then expedite that into upgrading my equipment because we all start somewhere. And I started bottom tier. And the amount of tutelage I got there in just 6 months of being with his team is like, it's second to none, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing that you know, obviously you are a great storyteller. And when I found out that you had an English degree.
Unfinished English degree. I dropped out with 3 classes left to go.
Okay. But
Still, proud college dropout.
It made so much sense to me because like, you know, your ability to write and like copyright and stuff that I've seen you do. It's really, really awesome. It's something that I really, really admire about you because I'm like, man, that's something that I fucking suck at.
I think that actually kind of, if I could say one thing in defense of college, which it's not necessarily defense of college, but it's a path that you pick. Go with stuff you either love to do or you're good at. I was not a model attendee of school once I had the option to like pay for it and not go. So I skipped probably like 70% of my classes. That's why I became an English major, because I'm like, oh, I have to read and write.
You can do cool. that on your own time, yeah.
I'm just like, I can do it without trying. Now,
oh, okay,
still got a C average.
Yeah.
But I also didn't care about school. I love education. I can't stand school. So personally, I did English as a means of not only just like getting the damn thing done, but I wanted to get it done in the most painless way possible, which like, hey, just make mom happy. You know, as long as I can do that, fucking, I don't give a shit what my degree is in. And everyone's like, oh, well, English is useless. I'm like, yeah, but like if you know how to read and write, you can transfer that into a lot of different things. Sales, copywriting, data entry, if that's your thing. If you want to write, want to ghostwrite for people, I can do all that shit. So I definitely get another aspect to my business, which is helping people sell and teaching them kind of the formulas to sell, which is a verbal thing for me.
Yeah. It's great. Well, we do have some questions, so should we just get some? Do you want to start off, set us off, Pat?
How do you keep up with the trends?
So I personally used to care a lot more about trends. And I can date this back to a specific time. There was an era where TikTok and Instagram were just neck and neck as far as like users.
I remember this era.
And it was a lot of fun because I personally don't use TikTok. I think there's a lot of utility to it. I just don't like it as a platform. It's just not what I, it's just not what like beckons me to create content. But more importantly, it was, I guess like maybe late 2021 to like mid to late 2022, you could post like a dog turd on Instagram if it was in a reel, and you could blow up from it. And at this time, the impact of trending sounds, which is, you know, you'll have regular sounds on TikTok and Instagram and all the different platforms now, and then you'd have the trending ones. And if you used a trending sound, like they helped you just grow so quickly.
And the trending sounds are the ones with the little arrow on it, right?
Yes, yes. Now, as time has gone on, the effect of those has become right. so much less. So this is all to say that like back in the day, I found trends that I could do or take part in that still really fit with my personality and what I was trying to get with my social media across. As I've moved on, I have become less and less trendy. I think there's a time and a place for trends. And I think most people can use them to build a foundation. But the truth is that the idea behind my philosophy is, how do you stand out? And, you know, the thing that like pissed me off is that you had all these different people and all these different industries like, oh, I'm going to do the newest TikTok dance. And I'm like, what the fuck is that giving your audience? Oh, yo, you're doing the thing. Right.
Dance monkey dance.
Dance monkey dance.
Yeah.
And so I would find the ones that like allowed me, especially I had to focus on entertainment for a while. Which is definitely not what my page is about these days. Usually still just using Instagram. And so for me, I'm very animated. Believe it or not, I'm actually two things in life. I'm incredibly introverted, yet I'm very animated, which is really a weird dichotomy. And it comes from my years of like kind of being a lonely kid. I grew up watching a lot of South Park and Family Guy and, you know, the things you're really not supposed to watch as a kid. And I would take the time to like memorize the lines and try to say them like verbatim. So I would take all that to like the kids in like seventh grade, eighth grade.
And perform.
Yes. And so I was able to then take that into the reels. And so I would find a sound that I like could maybe like quote from a movie or could just like make it something that was relatable. And, you know, like there's the scene from The Town, you know, takes place in Boston, you know,
Boston's
Jeremy Renner, Affleck. And, you know, he has a little side, the one little scene that's really funny. He's like, I need your help. Can't ask me about it later. We're going to hurt some people.
Whose car are we taking?
And like, I would like put on like an outfit or a costume.
Way to stay in character.
Safi. And like, I would like put something like when you've had one too many beers with the boys and one of them's talking about going crazy or something. And I kind of also took my influences from Vine, because when we were in college,
yeah, yep, Vine was the thing.
The mid 2010s Vine, a lot of those creators are still doing big shit. Some I like more than others. Like, you know, Lele Pons was someone who I really liked from back in the day. Anwar Jabawi, Jerry Perp drank. And of course the Paul brothers, Amanda Cerny, King Botch, like all these people were so animated and they had no fear about putting their personality on camera. So I kind of took like my natural strength and proclivities for like mimicking things and being animated. And I took the inspiration that all those people gave me back when I was in college. And I just went on a campaign of just doing trendy things. But the problem with that is that it didn't give me enough opportunity to be a trendsetter, for lack of a better word, because later on in life, I would get really into like the political space and the current events space. And I kind of had to knock all that off. You can still be entertaining, but like to me, trends are good for what they're good for. You have to find a way to stand out sooner or later. And so I think there is a real ceiling to just following trends. I encourage everyone to get uncomfortable, do the content that scares you. And that doesn't have to become native to you, but like you have to be willing to push those boundaries for yourself and not become so cumbersome because like trends, they come and go. Mm-hmm. The real shit's going to last.
Right. Oh, yeah, dude. I remember when this is long before you and I started working together and doing my social media. But like back, you know, when you're saying when this was kind of like the crazy time of trends. But I remember posting, you know, I used to do a lot of the voiceovers, a lot of the like point and shit bubble pop up, you know, like that stupid. I mean, not stupid. It's just not what
it
I
has
do
its
anymore.
Utility.
It
has
does.
Utility.
It does. And it makes it's an easy way to kind of get a point across. But I was doing that up for a while. And I remember at this time that you're talking about just getting way more views than I would ever get now, way more like engagement and views and stuff, but now just crazy. There was like a switch that just like flipped one day and all of a sudden it just like all changed.
And it's worth noting too, though. And this is one of the things that kind of bothered me. And you and I talked about this right after we came to the revelation is that for a lot of people and their kind of like go-to sauce is finding the trending audios and whatnot on TikTok and Instagram and blah, 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 blah. The problem is that the usual original poster of that content has like kind of control to like shut off and turn on engagement for other people. It's like, well, back in the day, it behooved you to like find a super trendy reel that, you know, was blowing up and there was a sound you could use, blah, blah, blah. Well, these days, like creators are a lot more greedy about their engagements. Like, why am I going to let you pull from this audio that I'm growing off of, like I'm trying to grow. Mm. So
well, I'm, you know, when I'm online and I'm looking at and something pops up and I look at it and then I go back and look at that person's page. A lot of the times you're going back and looking at it and the stuff that they were doing that was trendy. Like now the audio is gone.
Yep.
And you're just watching them look like a goofball with no audio.
A lot of them get copyrighted too.
Right. And now you're just like, I mean, you've got that on your page. And I always think about my social media as an extension of my brand or actually building my brand. And I'm like, do I want like, yeah, I want to be able to show my personality, but at the same time, like, is that really my personality that I'm just doing something trending? Mm. You know, I'd rather be the trendsetter than the person that's doing the trends. But I mean, obviously it's going to take time to get to that point, but I would rather be in that position than look back and half my shit's.
Yeah,
just, not me.
Right.
I have three pillars of social media and I had to kind of figure out like where do the trends fit with that. And for me, my big three things I try to keep in mind, my pillars are number one, be yourself. People are also dynamic. So people are going to change. Your tastes are going to change. What you produce is going to change. Your audience might change over time and that's okay. But you have to be honest with yourself about like what you have to offer from even just a personality standpoint. Again, like I can quote so many movies. I can quote so many TV shows. So much. Mark said there's no one more full of shit than Murph, which is Matt's brother. And it's so true because I'm so full of like useless shit, but it can be entertaining or it could be a trivial fact or it could be a story that impacts or inspires someone. But like, that's kind of the second thing is like, you have to attempt to be valuable. There's a lot of value in entertainment, but are your voiceover reels going to be as entertaining as like the comedian who writes his own, like Shane Gillis, who gets up there, writes his own material and who's naturally super fucking funny? You don't have to be Shane Gillis and you don't have to be as in touch with who you are. Like I am, you just have to figure out like, well, what is the main thing people are going to get from me? If I'm going to talk about real estate, if I'm going to talk about fatherhood, if I'm going to have a podcast, am I going to be some, and this is what we talked about when we first started the podcast was like, don't be someone who talks to everyone about everything. It's very hard to find your target demographic when you do that. If you're going to teach people stuff, be good at the stuff and then find the people who want to learn that. If you have something that you've been through that's really inspiring, find the people who need to hear that and really focus on them. And then finally, like, you know, make people laugh or smile. I always tell people this. If you don't know what to do, default to entertainment, because no one's going to get mad at you for making them laugh or smile. Yeah, you'll still have critics, but it kind of comes down to my third pillar, which is like, you just got to start having fun with it. A lot of people, especially when I would coach salespeople at First Form, the number one thing they're worried about is monetizing their platform. You have to think of it. You kind of have the Grant Cardone 10X idea, but like, you have to give like a 10 to one. That's what I really, really mean. You're going to have to put in like 10 times the effort for every one piece of reward you get when you're worried about monetization, if you're kind of trying to go about it in the engagement way. To me, it's like, I want to build a community. I want to see how many people who I can really engage and like touch their lives. And if I'm being myself and if I'm being valuable and if I'm having fun while I'm doing it, that becomes it becomes effortless for me, honestly.
Yeah. Damn. Good stuff. What are some common mistakes you see businesses make, like when trying to grow on social media?
They try to sell. They try to sell their way to growth, which is like, no. And we live in a really unique time where like the people who do very well on social media, they have mastered the art of giving things away for free. And I don't think there's anyone. I mean, it's kind of funny because like I was on a podcast up in Vancouver, Washington, the Failure Podcast. I think you follow Austin.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we were talking about like personal development. He goes, man, you know, like my big two guys are like Andy Frisella and Alex Hormozi. And I'm like, yeah, I spent like 72 hours with them last summer smash. And I don't know if there's people who give more away with their social media. Now, Andy hasn't posted on his Instagram in like 4 years as far as like his feed, but his stories, his podcast, his YouTube channel, it's endless amounts of free keys. Alex Hormozi will give you, I don't know how much shit.
Dude's an animal.
Yeah.
It posts like everything three he posts, times a day, it seems like.
And everything he posts is
so good.
so good. And it's him giving away knowledge for free.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And even going back to like one of the first guys who made me pay attention to branding was Gary Vee.
Yeah.
Who I don't listen to as much of his stuff today, but like it was one of those things that the dude is constantly pumping out content. If you have value to give people, if you can teach people how to solve their problems, like the most enticing marketing is where you don't feel like you're being sold to. And what most businesses are trying to do is they're trying to advertise to you. Like, no, you need to be giving value away for free. You need to get people interested, and you have to make them want to engage with you. And this is one of those things that's, you know, I have people ask me all the time, like, oh, well, should we run an ad? I'm like, why the fuck are you going to do that? You have like, this is the smallest thing possible right now. You should be giving shit away for free. Because like even like sampling your wares, like when you and I started working together, I was just like, I'm going to give you the best deal possible because like, I don't want you to feel like I'm selling you. I want to show you that I'm trying to impact your business, and I have to give some stuff away. Like it's little, but like give away the information, give away the tidbits, give away all the stuff that's going to make someone so loyal to you. I don't want to say dependent. I don't want to say beholden, but I want it to be like, wow, I am like loyal to this person. I trust this person. You have to build trust with your audience. And most people come out, can I see the energy drink?
Yeah.
Most people, you know, they think they're being slick, be like immediately you want to sell me something when you do something like that.
Yeah.
If it doesn't look natural, if it doesn't feel natural, there is going to be problems in terms of how you talk to your audience. And a great book for this that it's almost 10 years old, if it's not 10 years already, is a Jab, 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 Right Hook.
Gary V.
It's one of the books that we were told to read at First Form. I read it before I got to First Form. And what is that book? Do you remember the premise of that book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like give, and then sell, or basically, right? And not sell, but I mean, that's not the right
commodify.
Commodify. Yes. Thank you.
That's the truth. Is that like, and that's a better ratio than the one that I gave. I gave 10 to 1, and it's more of a 3 to 1 ratio. The thing is that like, You have to give things away for free to your audience to build trust with them. And after you've built enough trust, when you have something that has a call to action on it or something that's commodifiable, they don't feel like they're being sold to. They feel like they've been endowed with value, and they're like, well, fuck, I want to keep like this. I want to keep the lights on for these people. Like, mm-hmm. It gets me really excited to work with them.
And you want to support them too,
yeah.
You know, because you like them so much.
Well, think about how your businesses have grown. I mean, specifically, I don't know if we came with the figures for what you did, but we gave away so much free value last year just doing talking head reels.
Right. I mean, my business went up by, what was that? Like a 33% growth. or 25% growth, excuse me.
Either way, whether it's a quarter or a third, it's like, damn, that's a lot more people we're talking to now. Yeah, so that's awesome. The biggest mistake. People try to sell immediately and people try to be something that they're not.
Well, actually, you know what? I just realized the other day, I'm pretty sure not that like followers are that big of a deal to me because I'm not at a point yet, but I'm pretty sure I've doubled since you and I've started working together now.
Really?
Yeah. I think I started around like 1800. Now I'm at like 1600.
Wait,
I'm sorry. 800. I'm sorry. I started around 800 and now I'm at 1600. Excuse me.
I didn't know that.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think since we started doing the podcast and everything started posting pretty regularly, I think it was like right around 1,000. I think I'm up to 1,200 now.
Yeah,
1,200.
Yeah, it's 20% growth.
Yeah.
Sick.
Well, and with your guys' industries too, there is a lot of utility to being regional. You don't have to have 1 million followers to impact your real estate business or your mortgage loan officer business. It's like if you have 100 new people and you actually start to build a relationship with them.
Oh, dude, if I had 100 more clients than I did the year before. That's insane.
Absolutely.
It's more business than I'm not going to say more than I can handle, but it'd be a lot.
I think, and this actually can't go without saying either. One thing is that a lot of people, whether it's businesses or firms or brands, they try to go out of their way to like be nice.
Yeah.
Being nice means usually like you're trying to appease everyone and you don't find your voice. You have to be willing to piss some people off.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you have to go out of your way to do it. Some people go out of their way to do it and that hurts them. You don't have to be controversial. You don't have to be a dick, but you have to be willing to take positions on things. Like, okay, you're with Keller Williams right now. You're not going to go out of your way right now to say like, oh, well, you should go work with X firm or like they have all this over here. Like, no, you're here to support your business with the firm that you're loyal to. Same thing with Guild Mortgage. Like, you are marketing something specifically. You have to be willing to take positions. And the most growth I saw since my days of focusing mainly on entertainment is when I started talking about like politics and current events. And I wasn't overwhelmingly partisan. I just had no problem calling out the problems that I saw. The internet, everyone has a voice. So everyone's willing to tell you you're wrong or that you're right.
Right. Well, this is something I've been, you just said there that kind of made me think. And this is something I've been kind of thinking about introspectively lately. My natural instinct, I was spent 10 years in the restaurant industry and I think my natural instinct is to be like a people pleaser and to like agree with people. And I've caught myself a lot recently on like, just kind of agreeing with people. I catch myself like, no, that's not really how I think. It's okay to be confrontational here. Boom. And like, I really think this and no, I think it should be done this way, and that's I'm catching myself all the time, kind of stopping myself from stopping the people pleaser, like tell them what you really think.
Yeah.
And I have you to thank for that because I think it's something we've talked about bringing up on social media, stuff that like, if it's something that you really believe and think, then like say it. And it's okay if some people might love it, some people might hate it, and it's okay.
It was a text box that Ed Milette posted a few years ago that always kind of stuck with me. He goes, stop trying to make everyone happy. Your job is not to make everyone happy. You are not tequila.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
That's good.
How important would you say engagement is? You engaging with your own followers or just people like in general?
It's the most important if you're trying to grow. Like a lot of people look at like the likes or, the views. And like, I do look at the views. I think views are like the macro of everything. It's the bulk of what you should be paying attention to because it says like, how big is the net that I'm casting right now? And I mean, I've had reels and short form pieces of content that have gone to 1 million and it's like, okay, so what do I notice in those times? In those times, I get a lot of people who leave comments and they share and they save. And the thing is that like, it's like trying to work for something without seeing any kind of reward. When you start offering value to your audience, like they want to engage with you. Like I remember when I first found Andy's content, all I wanted him to do was like a picture of mine and he finally fucking did it. And it was like 2017 in Springfield and I went to the first S2 and it was like when they first released Megawatt. I'm like, these guys took such good care of me. And I kind of did the salesy thing. I like just took a picture of the Megawatt.
Sure.
I'm like, you should go there if you need supplements. And Andy liked it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But then I tried tagging him in a whole bunch of shit after that.
Sure. Which
I'm sure he saw it, but it's like how much shit he gets tagged in.
Sure.
And when you take that time to say like, okay, I have 100 comments on this last post. That's 100 people that have gone out of their way to engage with what I did. It's like giving away free samples at the supermarket, man. Like, you don't give away free samples with a dickish attitude and a sourpuss face on. You get excited and you engage with those people and you start to build relationships with them. Now, you can only be so in tune with so many people at once, but it's just like how you do your businesses, man. If you take the time to build relationships, you make people feel good. Really, even think about like the energy Nico and Juan brought in from STL Kicks and Concrete Cowboy. Mm-hmm. Like, when those people respond, everyone gets excited to hear from them. If you're not responding to your people, it's like people go out of their way to support you and you don't say thank you.
Right. One of our guests that I think that we've had on that does this very well, and the way she talks about it really kind of stuck with me. And she's like, it was Gretchen. She said, you know, social media is the whole point of it is to be social, mm-hmm. you know? So you need to get on there like and be social, like engage with people, and they're going to engage with you back and they're going to reciprocate when they see you post something, they're going to comment on your stuff. It's like, it's just a social circle, essentially.
I would recommend everyone goes out of their way to engage with other accounts. I mean, what was...
Sure, that makes sense.
What was one of the first things I told you?
The 10 and 10, right?
Oh, remembers that one.
I need to be better about the 10 and 10.
What's the 10 and 10?
So every day you're supposed to go on there and do and comment with, or, you know, engage, do 10 engagements basically with 10 of your tribe. Think about it like your tribe. So people that, you know, I would say that are people that are past clients, people that are friends of mine, people that are in my community that I already know, people that know, love, and trust me already. And then 10 engagements with people outside of my tribe, but they look like they would fit in with my tribe. You know, like that, like, so for me, for instance, that's, you know, local St. Louis people that probably work out and go to gyms, mm-hmm. people that, you know, that are just kind of in the same, that seem to like the same kind of stuff that I do. Right. So, you know, those have been the more people that I'm trying to kind of attract to my business. So,
and so here's actually a really big benefit of that, which is, I go through spells where I don't post very much. I, when you're a content creator for other people, you really have to designate, like, where is that energy going? And to produce this podcast takes a lot of creative energy, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You would think it's a pretty simple process, but I mean, it can be very fucking draining.
Oh, I believe it.
And especially like when I focus so long on like the politics and the current events, like you get a lot of backlash for people for a long time. Well, the thing I've taken away from the 10 and 10 is, again, it's relationship building. Even if there's like a period of like 2 to 3 months where I'm not posting very much, you can bet your ass that I am going around to comment sections and I'm leaving my actual opinion of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some weird content out there and I'm willing to leave a comment. And like, some of my comments will get 6,000, 7,000 likes just because I say something witty or snappy and people start like following you from that. It's just like, okay, it's still just engaging with people. That's the thing. So keeping your tribe accounted for, but also realizing it's a big world out there and you have a lot to offer. Sometimes it's not the reel. Sometimes it's not the photo. Sometimes it's not the skit you do. Sometimes it's not the podcast. Sometimes it's just, hey, there's a low barrier to entry. Take it, engage with people. It's social media. And, you know, it's been really cool to see what Gretchen's done too. I made the joke about her before she ever came on. I'm like, take that, Gretchen.
Yeah.
But I mean, dude, she's growing.
She's a killer, dude. Yeah. She's really good at what she does. And she's got her niche dialed in, you know, mm-hmm. she really does. And it's super impressive and, you know, good for her. So, definitely enjoy. She's a great follow, Homegirl GK on Instagram. So, she's great.
What is your favorite lead grab technique? Like, for example, what to use in a link tree link?
Don't give everything away on the first date. Don't tell them what it is. Like, if you're going to create a label or something that's enticing, I mean, look, you have to develop some kind of mystery with things. So I spent a lot of time with First Form. Again, are there other supplements I use? Pretty much no. Like, I'll drink energy drinks that aren't First Form, but like, First Form was the thing. And for me, the biggest conversation started was like post-workout protein, you know, the post-workout shake, Formula One and Ignition, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, what are you doing post-workout?
Yeah. So if I'm trying.
What flavor are you drinking?
Yeah. I mean, I've had all of them.
Yeah.
They're all great. Really glad they stopped doing a lemon meringue pie one.
No, that one doesn't sound good.
It was. I only knew one person who liked it. Mm-hmm. Oh, they had margarita too. But that was the thing, is that like you just want to inspire a little bit of curiosity. And then like, so I could say like, hey, Formula One and Ignition on the label, or it could be like the key to gains post-workout. It does more for you to have people ask like, I wonder what that is. Because if you label it like, hey, best protein ever, that's gonna give you a little bit more of pull with someone, or it could just say firstform.com. You wanna inspire curiosity. You wanna pique someone's curiosity. So for me, if I'm using a Linktree, which I don't use a lot of them, but I don't dissuade people from using them. They're very valuable. Like again, low barrier to entry. Fucking use it. The best thing is to be vague about what it is that it, so you can like pique that curiosity. But even if it's not like a link tree, like I think about it on a content by content basis, have a strong hook, ask a question and be willing to get people uncomfortable, or just say something that immediately is like, and actually someone who's going to be on the show with us or the summit with us, Seema, she had a great post one time. She had been at First Form probably about 2 years at this point, and she mentored me super hard as well as Matt. Like those two, I owe a lot to those two. So back when I remember the story from when I was at First Form, Seema, who's going to be on the summit with us, she had posted this photo one day, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think it was like her accepting an award at work, I can't remember the context of it, but I remember the hook, which is so funny. And it said, I got fired from my job. And so it's so weird because it's like, okay, like that doesn't look like what's going on in the picture. And then you kind of understand when you start to read what she posted that she got fired from her job in environmental engineering. She got fired from her job in environmental engineering. And that's kind of what led her to winning this award at First Form. And it was how you take a negative, turn it into a positive. And now she's doing her own. She builds websites for people. She does some content creation for people, and she's really fucking good at it. Because she knows who she is and she knows how to target a market, a demographic. And so for me, I recently posted something, which was, I started therapy, which we've talked about a little bit on the show. I'm someone who has really had a hard time becoming vulnerable and open to someone, especially a professional. And so the picture I used was a picture of me hugging Andy. And it was like, what I've been taking away from therapy is like my worth, my self-worth. And that I'm worthy of love, and that if you're someone who's out there going through these things, you know, I know I caught people's attention because it was one of the higher engaging posts I've done in a while. Like I didn't post for like, I don't know, 2 months. And then I post this picture that just says, hey, I'm going to therapy. Here's what I'm taking away from it. Here's a picture of me hugging Andy. And it got like 900 likes. And I don't know how many people saw it, but like you've using those little tools as a means of getting people's attention, you can ask questions or you should make them ask questions, quite honestly. You know, That's to me, asking questions is a really big way to get someone's attention, and answering them is even better.
Yeah, sure. How would you measure success on a social media? Is there a way to measure success other than likes and followers, do you think?
What are you trying to get out of it? I mean, but that's the question, is that everybody has a subjective means. I know people who don't care how many followers they have, they want more sales. And then I know people who their main thing is likes. Like sure. I remember coaching someone and she was like, Murph, what am I doing wrong? I'm not getting any likes. I'm like, are likes building your business?
Right.
She's like, what? No. I'm like, didn't you tell me you wanted to build a business? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, then why are you asking me about likes per se?
That just seems like the low hanging fruit as far as the like social media.
It's the most passive
cookies
thing
or whatever it is, like, you know. Well,
technically views are the most passive thing, but like,
yeah, you're right.
It's like,
you don't even have to touch anything to get a view from somebody. That person doesn't have to touch anything. They just got to stay on the reel for a certain amount of time before.
I know people who have hundreds of thousands of followers that they built organically, who sell a lot of their given thing that they sell, whether it's coaching or a product or whatever. A lot of their reels don't do that well as far as like tens of thousands of views or thousands of likes. They might get like 100 likes, but they're posting 3 times a day. They've become very valuable to a certain demographic. So this person was able to quit their job, was able to reach a very high level in the sponsorship ladder over at First Form. I'm going to keep her name out of it because, again, not about sharing the sauce like that. And she just focuses on hitting her core demographic of busy moms. So she gives them a recipe once a day. She just keeps churning out new ones, and she's not afraid to recycle old content, which is cool. She shows herself playing with her kids, and she shows herself staying in shape and getting in better shape. Okay, got a big following. The individual analytics aren't that gratifying, but in a vacuum, no, nothing's that gratifying. When you start paying attention to, like, what is the outcome I'm trying to produce, you care a lot less about the vanity statistics about, like, likes and shit like that. I personally think, for me, how many people did I get to see it and how many people did I get to engage with it? The top of that, though, is, like, shares. If it's savable, mm-hmm. someone's going to come back to it later. That has replay value. Or if someone's going to send it to someone else, that's someone doing the marketing for you.
Yeah, dude, that's something that you've kind of taught me to pay way more attention to, is the shares, and it makes so much sense. And in, like, we had a reel recently that I'm like, man, that one's weird. It has, like,
it had not more shares than anything.
Yeah, it had way more shares than, like, our ones typically get. And I'm like, holy shit. And then I'm like, but the views on it are not where they were. You know, it was like, this one was, like, wonky, but I mean, the shares are like that seems like the biggest one, because if it was. Because I look at the ones that I share to people. It's always ones that either make me laugh, or ones that I send to you guys. I'm like, ooh, that's a good point. Right. Like, or if it's a real estate related one, or just one that makes me laugh more often than not, those are the ones that I send, or the really fucked up looking one. The ones that is going to get my buddies to go, oh fuck. You know,
And I focus on the ones that people save. Like, I don't know if you can see it on Instagram, you can see it on TikTok. I see it a lot on TikTok.
The saved. Well, I think that's, especially like with our industry, I know people do that, because I'm like, ooh, that's a good nugget of information. I want to be able to bookmark that one and come back to it.
Yeah, and that tells the algorithm that people are getting something out of it, which is going to say to the algorithm, like, hey, okay, like, people are, sure, you're getting likes, right? Awesome. But are people commenting on it? Are people sharing it? Are people saving it? Those are like the above and beyond metrics, if you ask me. And this is mostly native to Instagram. But I mean, even if you watch YouTube videos, what do they always tell you? Leave a like,
comment, subscribe.
Yeah. And ring the bell for later.
Yeah.
You know, that's them trying to get you to do the heavy lifting for them, which, get a lot out of their content. Yeah. Support that creator, because especially if you're on YouTube, for example, the amount of views you get is directly correlated to how fast you can monetize your stuff. Yeah. Well, if you have people subscribing, that's going to tell the algorithm you're good. If you have people commenting, that's going to tell the algorithm you're really good. The like, it's going to tell people what they like to see, and then they're going to send them more of that. You kind of turn that into a recipe and you bake a cake with it. As long as you're producing content that people like to engage with, and people, I don't want to feel indebted to, but, like, you know, they understand the value exchange. It's just like what Andy always says with his podcast. You know, pay the fee.
Yeah, pay the fee.
Tell someone about it. Share it with someone.
Don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle negative feedback or criticism on social media? Which I know how I thought that'd be a good one for you, considering you're like, ooh, give me more.
I think, well, it's like, I don't want to attract negativity per se. I'm actually walking in a very positive light right now. So it's part of why I've been posting less, is because I've wanted to find my voice again. And when you're talking about politics and current events, you don't talk about you at all. And building my brand is still supposed to be about me. And the first thing you have to do is you have to get over the phenomena of people criticizing you or not liking you. Like, oh, I don't like what you posted. I disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. And I know people aren't going to like this example, but fuck it. That's kind of why I'm making it. You have Donald Trump right now. Everyone has an opinion on Donald Trump, and most people are not changing their opinion on Donald Trump. That's cool. But if this dude, who has the whole world, or at least half the world, saying how much they hate him every single day, and yet he still gets up and he still attacks it with that kind of enthusiasm. Like, the ongoing story about Donald Trump is that, like, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, he doesn't even use caffeine. The dude eats McDonald's
and, like, Diet Coke, right?
Guys like him and Warren Buffett are, like, preserved from that shit. I don't know. Like, I'm going to eat organic. I'm going to eat keto.
I'm going to have a Big Mac. It's going to be the most incredible Big Mac. I'm going to buy 200 Big Macs for everyone in East Palestine, Ohio.
That was really good.
Actually, my Joe Biden is even better, and I hate saying that. Yeah, Jack, I'm not gonna do it right now. That's just gonna make me mad. But that's kind of the point, though, is that you can't let negativity get you down. You have to be willing to rise to the occasion and continue to pump out your content. And that doesn't mean you can't take a step back. It doesn't mean you can't change gears. It means you have to keep things in perspective. The number one thing I tell myself, whether I'm talking about politics and current events or whether it could just be anything, is that most people on the internet are going to say something to you in your DMs or your comments section they would never have the testicular fortitude, aka balls, to ever say to your fucking face.
That's why. So we've had a couple comments on some of the stuff that that I've posted. And I've had comments on stuff that I've posted in the past. And my go-to thing is just like, you know what, man, I appreciate your comment. I appreciate your opinion. Let's hop on a phone call, or why don't you come on the show and let's chat about it.
Kill him with kindness.
Yeah.
Don't let it get to you. Look, and that's the thing. Like, I've gone back and forth with people who I thought deserved it. You know, cause everyone likes to call everyone a fascist on social media these days, and they can't tell you what like fascism really even is. And so like I started like poking holes in their argument. Well, there's a problem with that. While it's going to help your engagement, you can go to them like, dummy, you're helping my engagement by talking shit in the first place. Yeah. You're also wasting fucking time.
Right.
I think you can say one thing like, hey, thanks for your feedback. We may not agree, but that's cool. Especially when I talk about like the politics and whatnot, I would actually seek to find middle ground with those people. Kind of like what Pat said, I want to make a friend out of this if I can. And it doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. I got called a conservative influencer for like the last year of my life. And I don't think that's accurate at all. I think I'm someone who liked to call out the media and who liked to inform people. And I like to call out politicians. I called out a lot of politicians on the right too. It was kind of that willingness to be objective that also showed those people like, hey, there's more than one side to them. And that's kind of why I moved away from doing that kind of content, was like, I feel like I'm playing a character of myself, and this character is always fighting with someone.
Right.
So
it's gotta be exhausting.
It is. That's why I made the decision, the executive decision, to focus more on myself as opposed to what's going on in the world. Be the example. Don't always be the messenger.
I mean, that means you've done something right. You've got haters. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're really truly successful if you don't have haters.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it goes back to like playing sports. People talk shit and trash and say some fucked up things, especially like, I mean,
I was watching Never Back Down, and like the opening scene is that football game. He's like, the one football player is losing. He's like, it's too bad about your old man.
Yeah.
That shit'll kill you.
I just smile at him. And when I was playing, I mean, like there was a couple crowds. I mean, Carbondale was rough.
Oh yeah,
they were brutal. I mean, I remember they went after a guy, his buddy, just passed away of a drug overdose, and like calling him out. I remember walking down the bullpen with him and having to keep him in check from jumping over the fence and running up on this hill to go after these guys. But then, like, the best example I saw was like, we had this guy who's, rest in peace, he passed away from brain cancer. But Wichita State, notorious for trash talking,
especially Missouri State.
Yeah. And so
Wichita is not a state,
right?
Yeah. So we were playing at Wichita, and again, notorious for trash talking, especially our outfielders, because they're all the older people usually sit in the stands, and then the college people wrap around the outfield and they're just talking trash the whole time. Mm-hmm. And we had this guy, Nolan Keene. He was awesome. We're probably, one of the most positive people I've ever met, and just could take the trash talk. Yep. But he's like one of the few people that I've ever seen get a crowd from an opposing team to start cheering for him because of being able to take the trash talk and kind of dish it back a little bit. But yeah, Nolan was great. And it just kind of speaks to it. Like, accept it. It's going to happen.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, and it's just how you respond to it that's going to make you or break you. And like I said, I would rather just, like you said, find middle ground. Yeah. Like, hey, everybody's got an opinion. I would love to hear yours. I might learn from it. You know, maybe you have some information that I don't know.
Don't let it turn you jagged or cold or ugly or bitter, though. That's the thing, though, because a lot of those people are fucking miserable. And they look at me, who is the guy who's very self-aware, who has no problem talking on camera, who, I can riff off a fucking novel.
Right.
Both verbally and through text means at any given time. And they see that, this guy knows who he is. He has 10,000 followers. If I get him to pay attention to me, it must mean that I'm doing something right. And it's like, you can look at that in a petty way, be petulant. And that's one thing I would actually fault Donald Trump for, is that, like, I think he gives his haters a little too much attention.
Right.
Sure.
Which is just draining. You have to focus on the mission at hand. What is the mission at hand? The mission is I'm here to provide valuable content to people. Whether you like it or not is your problem. But I'm not going to sit here and become this bitter, defeated asshole because you didn't like my reel where I talk about anything.
I think I forget what it was that I was reading or I saw but or heard. But they're like, yeah, the person with the most self-confidence is going to look a person that says something negative to them and just be like, is everything okay? Are you all right?
Yeah.
You know?
Who hurt? I have a guy who's great at this. No. Bobby Sausalito at Take Naps. This is my fucking dog.
He's hilarious.
There are a lot of people who will fire at him for his political beliefs. And again, he is definitely more in the vein of conservative influencers. Like he'll speak at like Turning Point USA and like he's been on Andy's podcast and it's great. I love him to death. Great dude to go to a festival with too. Fucking love Bobby. But a lot of the people who will like just say mean, hurtful things, like who hurt you?
Who hurt you?
Is your dad in your life? And like these, like people will start to fire at him and he'll just casually laugh it off. And it's very hard to get a rise out of the guy because he sees himself as a comedian. And, you know, if you're going to make people laugh and smile, there are going to be people who tell you you're not funny. It's how you respond to it. What's his name? David Lucas.
Yeah. David Lucas, the comedian. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him live last time he was in town.
Yeah. Like he was on stage telling some jokes. A lot of people didn't like it. He goes, oh, you don't like that? All right. See you, baby. You know?
Yeah.
And now he later went on to apologize for that. Sometimes you have to admit when you're wrong. I don't particularly think he was wrong in that case. I think, bro, you're a comedian. Like, you're going to piss people off. Like, sorry. There have been people who have said worse things than you, done worse things than you.
Well, you got to remember, they're just jokes.
Yes.
You know?
It is just a joke. You don't have to laugh at it. But, like, if you paid here to sit here and be miserable and try to tell me something, then you're missing the point of doing this.
Right. People that get upset with comedians, like, because I'm a big stand-up comedy fan, and I, you know, I go see a lot of stand-up. And so whenever I see people that get upset about jokes set on stage, like you gotta realize that the person saying those jokes, it's all they are. They're just jokes. All right, we got one last one here. How do you recommend businesses navigate the balance between organic and paid social media strategies? So I'm not sure if they mean by like hiring someone or like using like paid ads.
I think once you're at a spot where you are so big that you are like nationally recognizable. Andy talked about like the concept of omnipresence, trying to be everywhere all at once. I think you can do a whole lot with organic reach, but you have to figure out like what is your bandwidth for like paying for these things, like, and how much extra is it going to add? Because once you start running ads, people are aware that you're running ads. The organic flow of conversation and the way that creators do things, commercializing that is a risk you have to take. But I mean, look at First Form. I mean, their page has a million followers, a million plus now. They didn't start running ads like to where you could actually like, see like on YouTube, for example, up until like the new logo got unveiled. Well, it took them over 10 years to get to that point. Everything else was through word of mouth. I think the most word of mouth, the most shares and saves you can get. Like if I have people talking about my stuff for me, that's great. But at 10,000 followers, that's still very novel for you guys where you're at, you know, it's still very novel. I wouldn't recommend it until you have like a product you're pushing or a service that you're offering that you really are trying to capture like national, if not global attention for. Other than that, just be valuable. If people like what you're doing, people will share what you're doing. And if people are going to share what you're doing, then they're doing the marketing for you. I'd rather have someone market for me off the basis of like how much time and effort and energy I put into it, as opposed to how long I'm running an ad campaign. And also, just because you're paying for ads doesn't mean your ads are worth shit. If you have advertising, that's a really good thing about that jab, 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 right hook book. It talks to you about ineffective marketing. Most people can tell they're being sold to. Mm. That's why you give shit away for free. And so focus more, at least for me, focus more on giving a product or a service that people like crave and desire. And you have a huge basis of like proof to that before you ever think about running ads. Like, most people don't want to be sold to.
Yeah, man. I think it still just comes back down to educate, entertain, motivate. And if it's good, people are going to like it.
He just had to make sure that I heard that before we go today.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thanks, Murph, for coming on. You'd be here anyway.
But, this side of the table.
This side of the table. Thanks to our friends at NeuroGum.
Thanks to our friends at Fit Flavors. Remember, you'd use promo code podcast50 till the end of May to get 50% off of online gift card. That's promo code podcast50.
And one last thing, too, if you want to hear more of what Murph has to say and others like Murph, what is it, April 24th?
April
24th. April 24th. We can probably get a link up for people to purchase tickets for this, but the social summit put on by Keller Williams Young Professional Professionals. So yeah.
Yeah. Check absolutely. It out. Come check it out. We will see you guys next time. Make sure you hit that like button, subscribe, tell a friend, comment down below what you thought. We'll see you on next show.